Item number one is an application for a zoning agreement amendment for unaddressed land on the south side of Fermor Avenue between Royalmont Drive and Plessy Road under file ZAA 21 of 2008.
Okay, the applicant is, Mr. Clerk?
I believe Paul McNeil or Frieder.
Paul McNeil, we have three people registered for this matter. Frieden Aldinger of Triple M Group, along with Paul McNeil of Triple M Group, I assume they're the applicants, and Glenn Clark, registered from 221 Royalmont Drive, registered for information, and Norman and Margaret Healy, registered for information. I don't see anybody else in the room, so I assume that's going to be it. If anybody else wishes to speak on this matter whose name I did not just call, the time to tell me is right now. We'll proceed with the two applicants who I see are gathered at the podium, and then if your questions are not answered during the presentation, I'll see what Mr. Clark and Mr. and Mrs. Healy have to say about the matter. Okay, please, gentlemen, take a few minutes. As said, there's no one registered in opposition to the application, so you could probably stick to the broad strokes, and then if there's any questions from the gallery, you'll have an opportunity to come back and address those. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Paul McNeil of the MMM Group, and here appearing tonight on behalf of the owners of the property, or prospective owners of the property, for a zoning agreement amendment. And joining me is Frieder Aldinger, who will also can speak if necessary on some items. I just wanted to give you a very brief background, Mr. Chairman, on this item. These lands have been zoned as light industrial for a number of years, and there was a zoning agreement put in place at the time of the original zoning that was very restrictive. It basically limited the use of the sites to a farm implement dealership and supporting sales of gas and oil and things related to that, dating back to a time when this was truly on the edge of the city and in an agricultural area. The whole Southland Park area to the south of this had not developed at that point. What we've seen in the last number of years is an evolution and growth in the city and a change in use all around this site. And the site is currently owned by Petro-Canada, and Petro-Canada has offered the site for sale. One of the conditions that Petro-Canada has placed on the site is that the site not be used for the retail sale of gasoline and oil products, because Petro-Canada has a service center almost across the street in Kitty Corner, so it's one of their restrictions.
No kidding.
That restriction, combined with the zoning agreement restriction, really makes any development of the property almost impossible. It's very limited in that regard. What we have asked for is relief under the zoning agreement amendment to allow for the development of the property essentially with its M1 zoning category as it currently stands. For clarity, and this is an issue that was raised by the residents when we met with them, we did have an open house with the area residents on November 25th. We invited a number of residents from the immediate area, from Southland Park as well as Dawson Road, to disclose what it is that we're filing. One of their concerns was the lack of development plans for the property at this point. And part of the reason for that isn't secrecy necessarily on the part of the owner. It's really that the application is coming forward at this time because it's part of a property transaction. The prospective owners of the property are wanting to buy it and then look at how it's going to be developed. Petro-Canada is the vendor and have placed restrictions, and before the sale can take place, this issue of clarity on the zoning agreement needs to be cleared up. In an effort to address that in a way that's fair and equitable to all parties, the planner has recommended a provision to bring back any of the site planning approval details, not only to this community committee for review, but would also have us meet with the appointed representatives of the Southland Residents Association before we move forward on any development of the site. And I think at this point that would be fair and reasonable because we simply can't present any plans. They're not in existence at this point. I have gone through the planner's report. We've gone through the report. And Frieder, have you distributed to the clerk, if you could, just for a minute? Mr. Chairman, what Frieder is distributing is the information that was presented to the residents during the open house that was held on November 25th, as well as an aerial photograph of the site in its context along Fermor, Dawson Road, and Lajmoujie Boulevard to give you some context on that. So we have gone through the planner's report. We find no objection with anything said in the planner's report and concur with their recommendations. I do have a couple of items to address in the ACG report, if I could. In the ACG report, under the servicing agreement, the first item is that the applicant shall at no expense to the city construct a wastewater sewer and land drainage sewer in Dawson Road South to serve the proposed development as determined by and to the satisfaction of the Director of Water and Waste. Those two connections extend beyond the property. That is, the wastewater connection extends to the east of the property and the land drainage sewer extends to the west. And as a result, there may be benefits incurred on the adjacent property owners. And one of the conditions that I spoke to Mr. Rabin about just prior to the meeting was that we would like to see an appropriate recovery built into that in the event that the other properties develop and utilize those services, that they pay their fair share back at that time that they develop. And I think that's typically done, and I believe Mr. Rabin concurred that that would be appropriate. I do, though, have a couple of other questions and suggestions with respect to the ACG report, principally related to the acquisition of the lands for a future frontage road. And I think I believe there's a sketch at the back of the ACG report that identifies the future development of a frontage road along Fermor Avenue. And the purpose of such frontage roads is to limit the number of private approaches onto a major street, such as Fermor. Right now, immediately in front of this property, Fermor is undivided. But at some point in the future, as Fermor gets upgraded, it's anticipated that it would be divided, and the city would prefer not to have a multitude of private approaches. And one of the ways of dealing with this is to construct a frontage road that would then tie back into a single intersection located to the east of this property. We have no problem with that, but what I would like to suggest, and Frieder, if you could distribute the wording on this to the clerk, please. What we would like to suggest, Mr. Chairman, is that rather than dedicate this as a right-of-way immediately, that what we do is provide to the city an option to purchase this property for a dollar at the time that the city actually intends to develop the road. And the reason I ask that at this point is if you refer back to the aerial photograph and my earlier comments, this whole area is an area that's in transition and growth. And although at this point in time the city has suggested that the frontage road is probably the best way to serve these areas, and I would concur that that's the case, in the end, the way that the properties may develop, the frontage road itself may not be necessary. And because we don't know what the future holds in that regard, I would suggest that rather than locking this in to registering that as part of a frontage road, that the city be given the option for a dollar to acquire it if and when the city wants to. And if something else evolves, then the city wouldn't exercise that option and the lands could be incorporated into the development site at that time. What I have given to the clerk, what we've distributed to the clerk, would be some suggested wording with respect to that. And that is that the city shall have an option to purchase the lands outlined in the sketch PR0813 from the developer for the sum of $1 once the city, in conjunction with the planned construction of the frontage road, has acquired the necessary land from the adjacent parcels for purposes of said frontage road. And I don't think that has any negative impact on the city's position with respect to protecting itself for future development, but it certainly provides more options for both the city and the property owner at some point in the future, depending on what evolves. There's a second point related to this as well, and that has to do with the development acreage charges. What we'd like to suggest is the development acreage charges shall apply to the net developable acreage, excluding the lands required for purposes of the frontage road. But in the event that the city does not exercise the option to purchase the frontage roads, that the acreage charges would apply to the said lands at that time. And a final point, which may be a minor point, but one we'd like to put on the table for consideration by the Community Committee, is that in the event that the frontage road is developed and that this development, that is of the frontage road, results in a possible closure of all or part of Dawson Road right-of-way, that an area equal to the frontage road shall be conveyed to the owners of the said property for the sum of $1 plus the applicable regional acreage charges. So in other words, if I could summarize that, what we're saying is the owner is happy to oblige the city's request for future development of the frontage road, but would request that rather than make it an obligation to immediately register that, that that be by way of an option to purchase that, and that in the event that part of Dawson Road gets closed, in equity to the owner that would be giving up a certain amount of square footage for the new frontage road, that they be put in a position where they would be compensated with an equal amount of land from the closure of the road adjacent to their property. With that, Mr. Chairman, that would conclude our representation. We would be pleased to answer any questions that may arise from others on the floor or from your committee.
Councillor Vandell.
Okay, thank you, Doug. Relative to number three, are you talking about in the event Dawson Road right-of-way is closed, that an area equal to the frontage road, are you talking part of Dawson Road be conveyed to you?
Yes. An equal square footage, if Dawson Road is closed, and I have no knowledge to say that it would be, but this what I'm trying to do, Councillor, is to leave as many options open for both the owners of the property and the city. In the event that the city does decide to develop the frontage road, and in the event that that results in a partial closing or closing of Dawson Road, what we're asking is that an equal amount of square footage that is being given up by the applicant or the owner of the property for city roads be transferred back to the city in a one-on-one exchange, if you will, at that point.
And part of Dawson Road be transferred to?
To the owners of this property. That portion of Dawson that would be adjacent to it, and that portion that would be equal to the square footage of the amount being transferred to the city.
Kim, have you seen this before?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Okay. So you did have a public open house. What were the what sort of feedback did you get?
I was not in attendance, and if I could ask Frieder to speak to that issue, please.
Sure.
The open house we held on November 25th. It was kind of just as an informational open house that we had just a presentation and questions. We had about seven residents who did attend, six of them being residents, one being the president of the Residents Association. They expressed some of their concerns with some of the possible development in the past that proposals that have come about there, and have expressed those to us. Basically, they were appreciative that we were forthright in presenting what we had at that time, and we're eager just in the future just to see what exactly is proposed. But at that time, that's what was basically proposed. So.
Okay, and last question, just for clarification. Did you say there was a specific purchaser to the property the removal of the development agreement is contingent on a possible purchase?
Yes. The owners of the property currently are Petro-Canada, and the property is listed for sale. We've been engaged by a lawyer acting on behalf of a prospective purchaser, and this is an impediment to the purchase of this property. And so the application in front of you is to remove that restrictive covenant to allow the owner to purchase the property for future development.
And Councillor Swindell?
That's it, Councillor Vandell?
Yeah, I'll have one more later, maybe.
Why wouldn't the offer be written subject to the approval being given with the plans coming forward?
I think I can't answer that directly, except to say that these lands may be held for a period of time before development is ready to take place. So that time frame could be one, two, or several years.
So this is just a purchase of the property. It's not somebody that's purchasing it to build on it.
That's correct.
So when it says at this time there's no indication that a specific tenant is interested in the property.
It's more than not a tenant. It's that there are no development plans for the site at this time. For the site. This is related directly to the purchase of the property.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Thanks. We'll ask you to stand down, and I'll see if the folks have any questions of you. Okay, we have, as I said, Glenn Clark and Norman and Margaret Healy who have registered for information. Now, obviously, you have the, I think it was mentioned that one of you was the president of the Residents Association, if I'm using the right term. I don't know if your questions were answered or if any of you would like to come down and make some requests. Mr. Clark?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name is Glenn Clark. I reside at 221 Royal Mint Drive in Southland Park, and I'm the current president of the Southland Park Residents Association.
Welcome.
Obviously, you recognize that our subdivision is directly south of the proposed, directly south of the property with the proposed attempt to change the zoning on the property. In reviewing the public hearing document which I received today, may I say we were very pleased to note that in fact the residents of Southland Park will have some involvement in further plans for the property. Now, we appreciate that very much, and we are anxious, of course, to work with the planners and the developers with regards to this property. I think you do appreciate the sensitivity of the proposal. We're very interested in maintaining our Southland Park residents. We'd be concerned about anything that would deter from our present location. And then perhaps, Mr. Chairman, that sensitivity is heightened a bit by the hog plant of recent years. We all remember that. And, of course, we were one community that was very, very close to that proposed site. So I think our awareness is heightened by that. But can we say that we're not here to oppose, we're here to participate, and we would welcome that opportunity to do so.
Fair enough.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Mr. and Mrs. Healy, did you have any questions, Councilor? Mr. and Mrs. Healy, would you like to speak at all, or? Okay. You have to come down. Oh, welcome, Mr. Healy.
Well, at the previous meeting there that we had, we tried very hard to try to figure out who this numbered company was, but we weren't very successful in finding out who that was, or who he was representing, or what, or anything like that, But mainly, what we were more interested in is that we didn't want to see like a development of access onto the property from Dawson Road, and points to that there. And we said something about, we didn't know really what it was, and they said they didn't know, but they said it would be in the fine. It would be nothing large. So what is meant by that? I don't know neither.
Sir, someone indicated to you it would be quote nothing large. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll
whether
put
it be
that
a large,
question
yeah, like a large plant, a big plant,
yep.
What size, or.
Okay, we'll put those questions to the applicant for you if you like.
Okay.
Mr. Healy, whereabouts do you live?
I live at 11 Blue Mountain Road.
11 Blue Mountain, so fairly close proximity to the property?
Yeah. Yeah, I was right in behind where that Esso station was.
Okay.
And that property is a little bit to the east yet.
Okay, just for your information, one of the recommendations is that there be a 6-foot solid wood fence constructed along the south property line. So there would be no access onto Dawson Road. One of the first things the developers would have to do is put up a 6-foot solid wood fence.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
No access. Yes.
Councillor through the chair. Actually, it says we've indicated or requested that a fence be installed, but exclusive of any road right-of-ways. I think we were at the time we wrote this report. We indicated that we didn't have any objection to an approach onto Dawson. We excluded that from the fence construction. So, if there was clear during this public hearing that the residents didn't want an approach onto Dawson Road, then that could be inserted as an additional restriction. But we didn't include it as actually restrict access to Dawson Road, pending what would happen at this public hearing. So
is there currently an access?
There is actually a. I'm sorry. That's the adjoining property. There is no approved approach at this point.
It's undeveloped plan.
But just correct me if I'm wrong. Any approach on Dawson Road, if this was passed as it looks right now, would have to be subject to the whole process going forward, right?
As part of the plan approval, they can show an approach. We should make it clear at this point in time as part of your decision as to whether or not you want to see an approach, because they're going to submit plans. If there's no objection to an approach, they're going to submit plans showing an approach, I would think, eventually. And so we should be clear as to whether or not we're endorsing an approach or not.
Okay. Any other questions of the delegation?
No, I just wanted to just clarify with Mr. Healy that what your concern is that you don't want access off of Healy Road and you're concerned about the scale of what might go on the property. Are those your concerns?
Yeah, when we first moved there, there was an exit that went off off of Dawson onto the property that which was owned by
Esso.
Yeah, by Petro-Canada.
Right.
And then we eventually got that sealed off.
Oh, okay.
And okay. But then it was like used then as a turning point, but a lot of people have been dumping there, but we haven't really complained too much about that because in the future years after then there was just all kids going there and partying and stuff and this and that in there anyway. But now eventually that little piece in there has all become filled with grass and cuttings and tree shrubs and all this kind of stuff. So that's cut out that part by itself.
Okay. It's worth mentioning that in 2001 we approved the adjoining application. There was no approach approved to Dawson.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, and if I can only say one other thing, it's really only because of the sewer system. The sewer system does extend past there, but I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's storm or it is a sewer system or whatever. Like it does go straight down Dawson Road yet, but how far, I got no idea.
Okay. Well, we'll find that out.
And that was the only thing that we were really involved with, that we didn't want no excess off of Dawson onto the property. That's all.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Ask the applicants to return, please.
Okay, there are a couple specific questions about approaches and
size of the site.
Yeah.
Intensity of development, I guess, would be.
Yeah, general questions that I
think, Mr. Chairman, relative to describing sort of what might go on the site, the current zoning on the site with the zoning agreement is M1. The M1 classification is the light industrial classification, and in many of the M1 districts of the city, you're not seeing really any sort of intense or heavy industrial uses. It tends to be lighter, multi-tenanted buildings, often with offices or things like that. What I would like to suggest with respect to the approaches is that if it can be left up to the site plan approval and therefore really contingent on the nature of the development that comes forward, if the development comes forward, and let's say it's a single user where there may be a fair number of truck movements, then it may be appropriate to limit the access on Dawson. On the other hand, if it is a very light industrial that includes an office use, which is quite compatible with the adjacent residential area, it may be to everyone's advantage to leave that option open with respect to what that might look like. In terms of the sort of the scale and the intensity of the site, again, I would refer back to the M1 zoning, which is reasonably restrictive with respect to development of the site. And at 6 acres of the site, just to help people understand what that is in perspective, if you're familiar with the old arena site in the Polo Park area, that's 5 acres. To kind of put it in perspective, this is not a really large site. There's a limited amount of development that will go on the site that is dictated by the size of the site itself. Without development plans in front of you, I'm sorry, I can't be any more specific than that. But it may help, I think, if you're familiar with the old site, just to kind of get a sense of the proportion. Or you're very familiar with the size of the site. I think the folks there know this site better than anyone else. But, the M1 zoning itself is a restrictive limitation on the intensity of the development on the site. I think there was a question raised with services, and that's a question you may want to put to your own administration for clarity on that particular issue. And is there something else that I've missed in the question?
No, I don't think so. Not in terms of raised by the delegations. No, I think those are the two questions. Okay, we'll open up to questions now. Councillor Swandell?
I'm trying to understand why this application is here now as opposed to part of... I'm still at a bit of a loss here. Like, if somebody wants to buy the land and speculate on it, it's already got M1 zoning. The restrictions could be waived at the point an application came forward.
I think, if I understand the nature of the question, Councillor, why wouldn't the owners buy it as is and take their chances at some point in the future?
Or subject to.
Sorry?
Or subject to.
The difficulty with subject to is that if for a transaction to take place, any of the subject to clauses have to be removed before one takes possession of the property. And therefore, if the land is going through a sale from a purchaser to from a vendor to a purchaser, all of those subject to clauses have to be removed prior to the closing, prior to the occupancy date. And so I think, Councillor, you're saying, why can't you just leave that open? Well, it may be 2 or 3 years before an appropriate development is determined for this property, in which case I think no vendor would leave this door open for 2 or 3 years, I don't believe, with respect to kind of leaving that open. So if you go back and look at what the restrictions are under the current zoning agreement...
I don't have those restrictions in front of me.
Okay, the planning department may, but essentially it restricts the use to a single use, and that is a farm implement
dealership and
service center.
Okay.
So it's extremely restrictive in its use, and the current vendor doesn't want the sale of gasoline or oil products on the site from a competition perspective. So I think what's happened is that the neighborhood has evolved to the point where this is no longer an appropriate location for a farm.
But you're acting for a purchaser, right?
That's correct.
So wouldn't it make more sense that the vendor would have this done and then market the property at its full value?
It could, yes.
I'm trying to understand. It seems like we're being, I don't want to say used, but there seems to be a negotiation going on between two parties here that we're being put in the middle of.
I don't think that's extraordinary, Councillor. I think had we been engaged by Petro-Canada to be here, we'd be probably saying almost this, we'd be having the same exchange. That is, that the intent of the application is to remove this very restrictive clause to allow a future purchaser a clarity in terms of their understanding of what the use of the property could be. I think it would be very difficult for this transaction to take place without that. The circumstances are that we weren't engaged by Petro-Canada. We were engaged by a lawyer acting on behalf of a prospective purchaser of the property, and they need to clarify this old and outstanding zoning agreement that I think has no real relevance today from when that...
I don't disagree that the zoning agreement is somewhat irrelevant. I just, you know, it's kind of out of context, because usually you deal with it either somebody wants to do it so they can market the property, or somebody wants to do it because they have a plan of something that wants to go on to have a tenant.
Yeah. Well, I think there are three scenarios, and this is the third of those scenarios. We've been engaged and have filed the application on behalf of the purchaser. I'm not sure that that process significantly alters the nature of what the application would be, whether we were here on behalf of the purchaser or on behalf of the vendor.
Okay, Councillor Vandell.
Can I just ask one other question, Councillor? Just the service road that's talked about, you would need the other properties, the neighboring properties, to be involved in that?
Yes. And so what we're saying is that's something that the city will have to, a process that the city will have to go through in one form or another. If and when they do, then you've been provided with an option to acquire this property. If for whatever reason that doesn't happen, rather than take the property from the owner and end up creating an additional piece of street right-of-way that may never be used, leave yourself and the owner of the property that option to make that decision at some point in the future. So, it doesn't prejudice the city's ability or cost or anything else with respect to that future acquisition.
How is this property accessed now?
Directly off Firmore, or off, I think as the one of the individuals said, at one point there appears that there may have been a road off of Dawson Road.
The adjoining property has the approaches, it looks like.
Right. If you read the ACG...
But it's permitted to have access off of Firmore?
Yes.
It would not be restricted? That's not...
Yes, Councillor, in the ACG report, it says... it's item 6 in the ACG report.
Because it sees long-term plans for the section of Firmore, I mean, include a service road on the south side. According to the decision, permanent access will probably be a future service road. And any private access permission will be temporary.
So they would be given a temporary
and valid access. Only until the service road is constructed. So they would be allowed a temporary access off the firm.
Yes.
Okay, Councillor Vandell.
Recommendation 1 has a clear recommendation that plan approval will come to this committee as well as reps of the Southland Residents Association prior to the issuance of any building permits. You're comfortable
yes.
with that?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And when I say we, I'm speaking on behalf of the owner. I mean, if this is 2 or 3 years down the road, we may not be involved with this process. But
the current purchaser, right. Not the owner, not the current owner.
That's correct. Sorry, okay. Proposed purchaser. But they've reviewed that and they're comfortable with that.
I have some questions for our administration now. So,
okay, go ahead.
Are we done with the...
Well, just stay there, just in case we need their input.
Okay. Kim, can you comment on the proposed suggested amendments to the ACG report?
Yes, I can, Councillor.
You've seen them before, obviously.
Yes. The first item, my only concern with it, and we have done a similar thing where we've basically said upon demand the city... or the owner will transfer a parcel of land to the city for a dollar, and that's been caveated against the property. But my only concern there is involving the neighboring properties in that. I don't see how we can do that, you know, how we can make that a restriction. One we recently did, the wording is simply upon demand by the city, the owner will transfer parcel C, in this case, to the city for $1. Plain and simple, when we require it, we will...
Without having the proviso of having assembled all the other...
Yeah, yeah.
And you actually define the parcel.
Pardon me?
You define the parcel?
Well, yeah, the specific parcel on that property, yes.
Okay.
That's required. Item 2, yes, in principle, we would only apply the acreage charges to the net developable acreage. I guess in consideration that the applicants here have some concern for the future that the right-of-way may not develop and that land would revert to them, they're basically asking that those charges don't be applied to that stretch of land until such time that that it comes into being available for development. And I'm okay with that too, but I would like to say that the development rates applicable at that time would be applied rather than today's rates.
Okay. So. And item three?
That one, this one is more of a, firstly, I can say they're asking for an equal area of land to the rear. That's not what occurred on the Petro-Canada property next door. Back in 1990, there was an application, a rezoning application, the AZ 235 of 90, which was considered by this community committee. And there's basically the same recommendation: the developer shall dedicate to the city for $1 a 12.497 meter widening along Firmore Avenue to accommodate a frontage road in the future. The Riel Community Committee adopted that recommendation as is, without, you know, any other consideration. And maybe, in fairness, the applicants on that site probably didn't ask for any other land, but so. No land was given up in exchange with the adjacent application. And it's not unusual. It's a, well, in my experience, it's a common requirement for developers to contribute land for street widenings for a dollar.
Okay. So there was another one to do with wastewater servicing and...
Oh, okay.
The future recoveries one.
Yeah, I can speak to that as well. In order to get wastewater and land drainage servicing to this property, the applicants would have to extend some off-site servicing in Dawson Road.
Okay.
And through the development agreement parameters, it's accepted that if other privately owned lands benefit from those services, that we would endeavor to recover from them when they make an application and
so that one's
pay some of those.
That's implied.
Yeah. Okay. Councillor Vaughan.
I would also like to say, I don't know if Kevin wants to say anything about planning issues regarding, land at the rear of the Dawson Road.
I can comment on that. Briefly, but I guess it should be pointed out that in the last 15 years that I've been involved with issues around the redevelopment of properties along Firmore and with the residents associations, there's always been a sort of an understanding that Dawson, whether or not it's actually utilized or not, is the buffer area between what happens on Firmore and the residential community. That's the buffer. So an acquisition or a partial removal and incorporation of Dawson Road into this property or any of the other properties, I think from the residents' perspective, brings everything closer to the, to the residential neighborhood. And whether or not they'd be allowed to do anything in there is another matter or not, but it does bring everything closer relative to the zoning and so on. So I think that there'd be a perception that should probably be left alone, whether it's utilized or not, just left as a buffer or a separation space. And that's what's come out of every resident meeting that I've been involved in.
Is somebody contemplating using the road for construction?
No, it'll be closed. When that area to the east,
right?
The Mateel properties or whatever, when all those lands to the east, I think they're owned by ANS now, or a good portion of it is in Qualico. When they develop, everything will go north to a signalized intersection of Firmore, and this portion of Dawson will be closed, and probably the portion of Dawson to the west of Royal Mint. So most of it will be terminated, and it'll just be left as vacant space or green space or
green corridor.
Yeah.
Okay, Councillor Vandav.
Mr. Chairman, just before you close off, may I respond to one item that was raised by Mr. Raven? That is, in the first clause, he said he was concerned about tying this into the adjacent properties, and I think that was less our intent than it was when the city needs it for the purposes of the roadway. It's really not to link this to the adjacent properties. It was just so that if we provided such a clause, then in a month the city could say, okay, now we're going to invoke that clause. We wanted to tie it in to the actual construction time of when the city required the lands. You can certainly delete any reference to the adjacent properties if that's a concern. From the adjacent properties.
Okay. You don't include properties that aren't part of the application.
No, what I'm saying, Kim, is that you can simply delete that portion and say that the city would have the right to exercise the option to purchase the property for a dollar when it is required for the development of the service road. Forget any reference to the adjacent properties. But you're not going to build the service road just in front of this property.
I'm never a big fan of doing this at this committee, because I always wonder if we try to do this on the fly. But anyway.
Sort of where I was going, Councillor. Just like you realize, I don't know what the timelines are like for your purchaser that you're working for. If we started trying to amend this now, it sort of slows the process down. It has to go through PP&D, Executive Policy Committee, and on to Council. Whereas if it proceeds without any amendments to it the way it is now. And it would go forward directly to EPC and Council without having to be vetted through PP&D. Mm-hmm. So it actually moves along. And, like, I think these are sort of more things that you could deal with.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I guess indirectly, Councillor, there is what we would not like to see is have this application laid over tonight and have to come back to this community committee.
Yeah, no,
if it means that the administration has to write a supplementary comment before it proceeds to PP to property and development or to EPC, then I think that we would ask that that be done on behalf of our client in that respect. But we would prefer not to have this laid over this evening.
All right. Okay, Councillor Vandal, what is your will?
Yeah. Okay, I'm... I'm prepared to
move the reports to the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read. Are we there yet?
Yeah, I'll move
all those in favor, opposed, carried. That the receipt of public representations be concluded. Are those in favor, opposed, carried?